Welcome to Business Innovators Radio, featuring industry influencers and trendsetters sharing proven strategies to help you build a better life right now.
Hi, welcome. I'm your host, Gail Nowak. Today, my guest is Michelle Jakovic, who is a highly sought after financial coach and business profitability strategist. Her financial solutions and Envision programs have successfully led entrepreneurs and individuals around the country in rebuilding their financial foundations and forged their way towards reaching their business and personal goals. Michelle is also the author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Prosperity After Divorce, and a contributing writer for Thrive Global. She's made numerous guest appearances on national radio and podcast shows and speaks at entrepreneurial and women's groups around the country. Michelle and I met at Evolution 2019, and today she's going to share with us some of her insights and positive energy around the infinite possibilities of financial savvy and empowerment. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Gail. It's so nice to be with you again today after our venture into Evolution 2019. I'm excited to be on your podcast and have some conversation around what we got out of that event and share with your audience what I do and how I serve.
Yeah, and I'm so excited to learn more about you. We got a little bit of an opportunity to chat very briefly at Evolution 2019. So how about if we start off with you sharing a little bit about your business, who you're working with, and some of the common challenges and problems that you help your clients overcome.
Excellent. So as you said, my name is Michelle Jakovic, and I am a business profitability strategist. I'm an expert in money, business, and finance. I used to introduce myself as a budget coach a couple of years ago because I love that shock value when people, when you stand up and say, oh, I'm a budget coach versus a financial strategist. People go, oh, it's like the word diet. No one gets jazzed up or excited. But I love shifting people from that limiting belief that being in control of our money and naming our dollars in advance is actually a negative thing into a more savvy place of empowerment that planning really does do for them. And, it's interesting. This is actually my second chapter in my life. I went through a transition myself. I actually bought my first company before I turned 30 and grew. I was in insurance and had I bought the company that I worked for just before I turned 30 and had a background in taxes and my investment license. I did property and casualty insurance. So over a 25 year plus period, I worked with multiple entrepreneurs because I did commercial insurance and I worked on helping them protect their businesses. But I was never somebody that walked in and just was interested in quoting what their business was and what protections they needed. I really was jazzed up about being able to be invited on their journey of entrepreneurship. And everybody was different. Everybody's business was different, where they started, where they were, the challenges that they had. And it was my job as a trusted advisor to really come alongside of them and make sure that they were protected. And what I loved most about it was the fact that there was a lot of diversity in everybody's stories. And for me, I was able to, step into that move from employee to entrepreneur. I always knew that I wanted to own a business. So it was a great opportunity for me to buy the one that I worked for. And I had a business partner. We grew that company from 600,000 in sales to over 12 million.
Wow.
Had 14 women that worked for us. And we were a leading force in our industry. In 2010, I got divorced and life as I knew it had changed. I was working 60 hours a week. My former husband was home with the kids at that point for 6 years, doing a fantastic job raising them. But everything that we had built over 23 years was split in half. And our timing was split in half, right? He went back into the workforce. I was trying to figure out how to be on a parenting plan where every 2 days I had to manage my children's schedules, which should have been easy. But as a working mom and somebody who was super active in the community and on, five different nonprofit boards, it was really hard to step up and balance all of that. And I wasn't doing very well. And about 4 years into that post-divorce chapter, I made a decision that I knew that I wanted to be there more for my children. I wanted to simplify my life, spend more time with them. My daughter at that point was already 18. My kids are 6 years apart. My son, was younger. And I just knew that something had to shift. And I would never have been able to make those changes, whether it was through the divorce or making a decision to step away from my business, you know, selling it and starting something new, if I didn't have my bearings. And I mean financial bearings, my emotional bearings, a plan around what it would look like for me and the kids. I had no idea what I was going to do next, but I knew intuitively that something had to change. I was birthing something. I had no idea what I was birthing. I just needed to rest. I was exhausted. But it allowed me trusting, right? Like knowing that there was something more beyond what I was doing for that 26 years of my insurance career. It gave me the wherewithal to step in and take a leap. Now, obviously I wouldn't have been able to take that leap if I didn't have financial stability. And that is today what I teach. I step alongside other entrepreneurs and help them figure out how to get their financial footing. I am a firm believer that financial consistency is what leads to financial stability. And I know this to be true because I was a train wreck in my 20s. and pulling myself out of, you know, more than $15,000 of credit card debt and payday loans and all the mistakes that I made when I leapt out of my parents' home at 19, thinking I had adulting down and fell on my face, led me to understand that when I had those things together, when I had financial consistency and I was planning and I was content with where I was, but not complacent, always had goals, that I could create the stability that I needed to take bigger leaps in life. And I could lean more into my intuition and into my own knowing that no matter what came my way, it would be okay. And that's what I get to teach today. I get to use that experience as a veteran entrepreneur and help mentor other people on how to do the same.
What I love about what you're saying is, this is a theme that I think really stood out at Evolution 2019. Everybody in that room that I got the opportunity to speak with was such a cool balance of practical application backed with wisdom and intuition. And so I love what you're saying about that practical aspect, right? Like money, the physical practical concept of money, but also you being in tune and taking a rest and knowing that you had to take a leap of faith, knowing, feeling into the fact that, okay, something has to shift, something needs to change here. Yeah. And being able to then bring that back in to the practical world and help other people do that. Because I think that that's one of the things, right, that sometimes stops us from taking a risk that's really going to have a big payoff, not just financially, yeah, but emotionally, spiritually, you know, fulfillment wise. But I get what you're saying. Like sometimes you just need to feel like you have that foundation in order to take the leap in the first place.
Yeah. And I think what happens, you know, so many people that I come across today, and I'm sure you as well, you know, we have transitions in our life, right? We have, and some of those transitions we plan, some we don't. I happen to be the one that initiated the divorce, but so many people are, you know, find out that there's indiscretions and they decide that the marriage is over. Some people, I have a woman that I'm working with this week who is a widow, new widow. Another client who lost their son to a heroin overdose. Like we have no, you know, there's so many types of transitions, corporate, you know, being discarded from corporate job after 27 years. There's so many people that I walk with in this space of transition and not just entrepreneurs. But what happens is when you go through any type of a transition, planned or unplanned, the first thing that we have to do is really start to tap into, I've got to reset my vision. What is the life that I want to create? What is the business that I want to create? What is the parenting that I want to be doing? How do I want to live? You know? And so it's funny, people will come to me looking for financial help because I, you know, at the end of the day, that's my power attributes, right? Like I'm a strategist. I can see things from a different perspective, but I'm also super intuitive and I am definitely non-judgmental, which gives people a sacred space to be able to learn and grow, right? Mm-hmm. Like reminding them that the rearview mirror is smaller than the windshield for a reason. If you've made mistakes financially or in your life, like we're going forward and being able to mentor them and hold that space is so sacred for me. But you're 100% right. You know, my process that I work with people through, it starts with vision. And when I started doing this work as a financial coach, I was literally like coming in and just building the strategy of, okay, I'll show you, you know, this is how you can plan better instead of, you know, the yellow pad version of budgeting as most people do with money in and money out. I built an allocated model for people. I introduced a virtual envelope system so that they could pre-name dollars and see their money grow in their, you know, gift envelope and vacation envelope and car repairs and all that technical stuff. But what I found when I was doing the technical was, I'm a self-development junkie. I'm a personal development junkie. It always comes into everything that I do. Anybody that walks with me personally or professionally will always have that piece of me because I can't leave it out. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing to introduce people to this space of intuition, to this place of, you know, they've been running in place for so long in their finances that they stop dreaming. They stop thinking about their goals because they feel like nothing's possible when they're in that space. And I'm all about saying, no, no, the way that we get to where you want to go is creating the roadmap. And that roadmap has got to start by taking a deep dive into establishing new goals and vision, both personally and in your business. Because so many people build businesses. I built a business that was no longer in alignment with how I wanted to be living my personal life. And I could easily do that in this business as well, right? In my private practice and serving people, I always have to be asking myself, what would I love? And when I'm not feeling in attune to that, then I know that something has to shift. And it also is a place when we start to look at visions and goals where we start to look at the blocks, because I can bring people to a certain level financially. I can help them grow and scale their business. But if they're coming up with limiting beliefs and prosperity blocks along the way, all the money isn't going to matter. Right? We sabotage, we end up in the same place over and over. So for me, the vision work is so important because I get to step into shifting them into alignment with the vision. I get to remove some of those prosperity blocks and limiting beliefs, which is what was so great about sitting in the receiving side of Evolution 2019 was I always have to be doing this work for myself as well. You know, so to be able to sit at a table with you and work through those pieces and not be the one leading, but being the one receiving was so beautiful because it's a part of my process, but I have to have the space to carve out and do it myself as well.
Right, right. And so you alluded a little bit to some of the outcomes that you've been able to achieve sort of going through that process. What are some of the outcomes that your clients have achieved after working with you?
Well, one of the things I'm most proud of is just, you know, I track as I move people through my programs. I do track when they come in, you know, where they are in terms of personal debt, business debt. You know, so many people today, you know, they don't necessarily go out and get your traditional, you know, small business administration loan. The access to credit is easy. So many women, 37% of women grow and scale their business using credit cards. And the intention is that, you know, 2 years from now, I'll have them paid off. I'll be paying myself. And then they get to the 2 or 3 year mark and they're either paying the credit cards and not paying themselves or paying themselves and still carrying this balance. And now with a lot of guilt and shame. Mm-hmm. So I would say that the biggest thing for me is stepping on a journey with somebody and giving them the roadmap. And, you know, I'm a real numbers person. So being able to, you know, to get involved with the business and say, okay, this is where, you know, again, if their destination looks a certain way in terms of their goals, and that's financial, it might be their social goals, it might be their family goals, but we have the destination, then I create the roadmap, right? So for me, it's the biggest ahas is when people can see that there's this piece of strategy that they can use to predetermine and pre-name where they're going, both action-wise and financially, when they start to look at their numbers. I've helped people pay off more than $500,000 of debt, save more than $250,000 in their business and capital accounts and in their personal emergency funds just in the last 2 years. So, you know, those are real strong numbers for me. That doesn't include the scaling and the growing of businesses. You know, this year alone, I have 4 clients that have almost tripled their business numbers and increased clients and their revenue over last year. I have one that we just celebrated last week where she actually did more in this first quarter than she did in her whole last three quarters last year. And it was 2 shifts that we made. mostly just getting a clear picture of what the lifestyle is and the business overhead, and then bringing them both into view, and then creating strategy around how to move and create flow, cash flow, obviously, and then growth strategies to help them get there. So I think there's a culmination of things. You know, success for me isn't just about the numbers for people. It's about getting them to figure out what their version of prosperity means for them. And sometimes that means less of what they have. Sometimes it means more of what they want. It really is different for everybody.
That's so cool. So cool. What are some of the positive shifts? I mean, those are amazing outcomes, but when you think about it in a, maybe in a more global or expansive way, what are some of the positive shifts that you've experienced either personally or, you know, kind of in the world at large as a result of your work?
That's a beautiful question. So some of the shifts that I've realized is, you know, when you start to do new things, right? So my whole identity for almost 3 decades, right, was insurance. And I was really, really good at it. I loved what I did. When you step out of that identity and you take off, you know, that whole thing, like, who am I outside of that? And you start to figure out in this new thing who you are. It's a really interesting and confusing place to be. And I find that, you know, that happens to so many of us. And what I have found for me is I believe wholeheartedly that I was really sent here to help others release their guilt and shame around their money handling, teaching them new skills and tools so they can stop running in place in their life and actually change their family legacy. And I don't mean it by building a ton of wealth. I mean by literally breaking the chains of guilt and shame off of their legacy, right? Or whatever that may look like for them, teaching them about learning to create a life that they would love and using the fact that this is scary for me, right? Stepping into a whole new thing and not having any idea and putting on this new, I always say it's like wearing a new pair of heels. It feels, you know, they look really great and then they really hurt and you get blisters and you sift and you sort. And I think for me, it's being willing to, even in this, you know, I call this incubation stage of my business, being able to trust that when something doesn't feel right, that it's okay, you know, to not drive so hard. That's the hardest thing for me. And I think for so many entrepreneurs, we're always driving and trying to create versus co-create. And I think that, you know, being able to harness this idea that when we are driving so hard to get where we want to go, we tend to get in our own way and we don't allow for creativity and space. And, you know, you mentioned my book that came out last February, and I really, really believed that, you know, this place that I was supposed to be serving whole, like 100% would be working with divorced women and people in the transition of divorce. And, I developed programs and different things that I was doing around that. And what gave rise to the book was that divorced women kept showing up in my practice, you know, 3 and 5 years post-divorce. And I'm thinking, okay, so I'm supposed to serve here. And I never, ever planned on writing a book. Actually, it was Bryna. I was in the process of writing and I came across Bryna's work as an editor, and I needed some help in the creative process and making sure that the work that I put out to the world was not a memoir. That's not what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be a place, a book where women could learn and read and learn and move. And so that's how I learn. I read and tell me to do something, I'm going to do it, right? It's why we did so well at Evolution, because it's like you listen and then you do. And I think anybody that's into self-development and professional development in that realm, it's about the doing. It's about the reflection. It's about that going inward and then taking action and tapping into, you know, both the holistic side of ourselves and the technical side. And yeah, I think that for me, it's looking at the bigger picture and trusting that it may not look anything like I thought it would look like. So the book has had much success. I get, you know, emails on a weekly basis. I had like 4 last week that brought me to tears, and women, you know, from all over the country. And I'm like, gosh, how did they find the book? And they're just trusting. I have a woman coming here tomorrow to Connecticut who is actually traveling to do a workshop, and she's from California. and sent me a message 2 weeks ago and said, I don't care what it takes. I want 3 hours with you. And I'm like, she's going over to the other side of the state near New York. And I'm on the other side near Rhode Island. And she's like, I don't care. I absolutely want to meet with you. I'm a lead mediator in the country. And I do, you know, divorce mediation. I train other mediators. I read your book. I've been sharing it. I want to meet you. And I was just like, oh, like who would have ever known, you know?
Yeah.
So speaking of Bryna and Evolution 2019, when you think back about the event, you know, you touched on some things where you were talking about who asking that question, who am I? And the question, who am I becoming? That was a big theme at the event. So what were some of the insights that you received that really stand out to you the most?
There are so many, but I will say my favorite realization that came to me from Evolution was Bryna leading us through really looking at the core desires that those feeling qualities. She asked us to identify 5 feeling qualities of our vision. And I thought, you know, what are my 5 core values, right? And able to identify abundance, connection and community, freedom, joy, and fulfillment. And those were my 5. And I remember her saying, so when, you know, write a little bit about each one and why it matters to you and whatnot. And I remember her asking the question, is there anything on your list that you feel in this moment today is unattainable? Like it keeps coming up as like, yeah, maybe someday I'll get there. And I had to be honest with myself. And it was the word joy that I was like, God, is joy ever really attainable? Like, I'm happy, you know, I enjoy my life, but joy, it almost felt unattainable. And so I circled that and I thought, I don't even like the word joy. And one of the things that I love was she prompted us to ask more questions. And I thought to myself, okay, use this here. If the word joy, there's this disconnect with the word joy, then ask yourself the question, what would more joy look like in your life? And the word that came up for me was fun. Like it means having more fun, space for more fun, space for more enjoyment. And when I wrote that, I thought, yeah, like inviting more fun into my life, you know, would definitely resonate at a higher level for me than the word joy. And so I think for me, it was really identifying and it made me realize how many times I don't ask myself enough questions, you know, harness the power of our intuition by asking the questions. How can I feel more joy? How can I have more fun? How can I, you know, have more fulfillment in my life? And then just waiting for those answers. Because when I asked that question, what would more joy look like? Fun was like right there at the top of the list. And it's so interesting because I came home and I was moving my vision board, and on my vision board, I had the word fun pasted like 6 different times. And I just laughed at myself like, oh, it's always been that. But I think what happens is I haven't even invited in this space of more fun. And like when I was there, now every day I'm like, how can I have more fun today? You know, and I wake up with a more of a childlike sense, I feel, since her event, because I'm asking that question, how can I have more fun today?
I love that you bring that up, because I had a similar experience where I was in a very different space at the event. You know, we're a few weeks out, so, you know, of course things change and shift. And I was responding to those core values and that feeling quality in a very different frame of mind with a very different frame of reference. And then yesterday I went back and looked in the workbook, and I had that, like that same moment of just laughing, because I was coming to it with completely different lens, and it was still the same.
Wow.
It was just like, oh my gosh. So it was kind of like, oh, it's been in front of me the whole time, right? Like, it's not just this one particular circumstance that I was thinking about at the time. It's everything. It's everything about your life. And which I just thought was so, it was such a fun sort of surprising thing, and also just part of the magic that Bryna was able to bring to the event.
Yeah, and I think that's it, right? It's that what you just said is when we do have that laughter with ourselves, it's like, oh yeah, it was already there.
Right.
And that's where we get to step in to say, oh my gosh, you know, the woman in my future, the woman in my vision, right, who's already there, is the one who's sort of like,
right,
laugh. It's almost like you tickle yourself. You're like, oh yeah. Like she already knew, but we get disconnected because we're in the doing, right? We're in that technical space of who do we serve and how do we serve and what do? And how do we do it best? And then add in mom and, you know, daughter to aging parents and whatever else is going on in our lives. And we disconnect to that most important source. Right. So,
right.
Yeah, I love the work that Bryna's doing. And I'm so grateful that, you know, she helped me bring this piece of work that I had to fruition and that it'll make its mark in the world. And who knows what prosperity after divorce, what will come of that? I no longer have a tie to how it looks or where it goes. It's like it was meant to be out in the world, and how I'm supposed to serve in that arena will just happen, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I want to thank you so much, Michelle, for spending some time with us today. How can people find out more about you?
So anybody that's interested in learning a little bit more about my, you know, financial coaching or business mentoring can go to my website. It's michellejacobic.com, michellejac like Charlie, O, B like boy, IK. So michellejacobic.com. And, you know, I love when I have an opportunity to spread my message a little wider. I have, I'd love to share with your listeners, a tool. I have a vision and goals power pack that I can send you, give you the link to share with your audience. And it's a nice just recorded video with some worksheets that will help move them through this space of being able to sort of reset a vision for themselves in different areas, personally and in their business. And I call it my vision and goals power pack. And if they want any other information about my services, they can schedule a 30-minute consult with me by also going to the website and getting some information about how I might serve them if they're interested in what I do.
Until next time, remember, be your best story and share your positive news now.
Thanks for listening to Business Innovators Radio. To hear all episodes featuring leading industry influencers and trendsetters, visit us online at businessinnovatorsradio.com today.